The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
All eyes will be on Augusta on Sunday for the final day of the Masters, but there is another iconic sporting event which will be down for decision in London. The rowers of Oxford and Cambridge will go head-to-head in the boat race on the Thames. And to tell us more is Off the Ball's Cameron Hill. Cameron, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
This is an ancient race.
Yeah, 170 editions. The 170th edition taking place this Sunday down in London, in West London.
And it's races, plural.
Yes, yes. So the first boat race, it was a men's boat race, unsurprisingly, held in 1829. The women's race then included in 1927. So we're coming up on the bicentennial and centenary of both of those soon enough. Now, Cambridge have won the last 7 women's boat races and 5 of the last 6 men's contests. So how this all started was a guy called Charles Wordsworth, if that name sounds familiar, it's because he was the nephew of the poet William, of Christ Church College, Oxford, and Charles Mary Val of St. John's, Cambridge, met during a vacation in Cambridge with Wordsworth deciding he would row on the Cam. Mary Val spots him, challenges Wordsworth to a race in or near London with crews of 8 to a boat during the upcoming Easter break. So Oxford turn up to this race in the traditional dark blue of Christ Church College, with Cambridge in light blue. Oxford would win this race, and it would kind of go on sporadically for a couple of years until it became an annual event in 1856. Likewise, the women's race didn't really become a regular fixture, so it started, as I said, in 1927, but it wasn't a regular fixture until 64. We've had a few slots like this before where a sport that women are taking up has been described as unladylike and shouldn't take place, and this was no different until the 60s.
Now, what about the courses? Is it one course or is it tidal? I mean, does it depend? Because it has to happen at a certain time of the day. So do they vary the course?
So they changed the time of day, of course, because they want to do it at high tide when it's the fastest run on the Thames. So it started in Henley-on-Thames. That was where the first race took place. It now takes place between Putney and Mortlake on the Thames and finishes just before Chiswick Bridge in West London. The women's race used to take place in Ely, just further upstream in the Thames, but now it follows the same course of the men. That goes back to 2015.
Okay, what's the score at the moment?
Cambridge are far and away ahead. So the men's, it's Cambridge 87 to Oxford's 81. Well, the women's, as I said, last 7 in a row, they have 48 to Oxford's 30. And in time-honoured tradition, we can claim some credit as Irish people for Cambridge's dominance. So Caoimhe Dempsey was part of the crew for 3 of those wins between 2021 and 2023. That last year, she served as the boat club's president. She took up rowing in Trinity and continued in Cambridge while completing a PhD in development psychology. She has a sporting pedigree as well. So her father, Larry Stanley, captained the Kildare footballers to an All-Ireland in 1919 and represented Ireland in high jump at the 1924 Olympics in Paris. So I caught up with her this week, and she was telling me that the year immediately after a Summer Olympics is a special one. So because it's year one of the next Olympic cycle, some Olympic rowers will come to either Oxford or Cambridge to take part in the boat race. For instance, this year, you've Paris bronze medalist Heidi Long in the Oxford boat with the American Claire Collins in the Cambridge one. And Caoimhe told me why.
It's kind of on a bit of a bucket list item for rowers. And so on the international kind of cycle, you'll obviously have people coming off their Olympics and then they might be moving into retirement, or they might be, you know, having a down year before they start building to the next Olympics. And so it's kind of it's become in the last decade or so a kind of nice way for these athletes to get out of their national rowing centres, try something new, row with different athletes, and then move back into their systems. And so, yeah, it's kind of a way for those athletes to get a break, and either if they're retiring, it's a way to move out of this, you know, there's a big come down from the Olympics, you know, as you would have from any of these big events. So it's a way for them to kind of have something fun to ease them out of the sport, or a mental kind of reset before going back into another cycle. Yeah.
And tell me this, will she have any involvement on Sunday?
She'll be following along the race alongside the women's head coach, Paddy Ryan, and his boat on Sunday. No Irish connections there, I'm sure, down the line, but he is Australian, so we can't claim that one. But she will be watching on from close enough.
Well, there is some controversy about the race this year. We'll talk about qualification to actually row in a moment, but water quality is a concern.
It is. So Oxford last year complained that they were sick, and they described in pretty visceral detail what they saw in the Thames last year while racing. So it has been an issue for quite some time. One of the traditions is that the coxswain of the winning team is thrown into the Thames as celebration. I don't know if that's a particularly sought after prize for them, given yeah. the water quality.
Okay, so that's one controversy, which they're talking about water quality being okay, but there is always a concern. Now, what about people who've been disqualified from participating?
Yeah, so it's gotten a little bit bitter in the last couple of months. So back in December, Oxford made an appeal to bar three members of the Cambridge team. That's men's under 23 world champion Matthew Haywood and women's squad members Molly Foxall and Kate Crowley, because they were studying for a postgraduate certificate in education. So Oxford's argument was that the PGCE is a diploma and is not a degree, a view which was held up by an independent panel. Another member of the Cambridge men's crew has been banned due to the so-called 12-year rule. So you can't row for either team if it's been 12 years since you started an undergraduate degree.
And why did they bring about that rule, the 12-year rule?
Because Oxford back in 2019 had double Olympic champion James Cracknell, or Cambridge had them rather, at the age of 46. So it probably gives another team an unfair advantage, you might say.
Well, there's someone with massive experience as a rower and a winner
yeah.
being in the boat. Cambridge now, they didn't take it lying down. They called it slimy tactics.
Yeah, they said that the impact on the Cambridge women's squad losing two members is collateral damage. If the PGCE ban stands, it will affect women disproportionately, as more women are teachers. And this is an added complication this year, because Chanel are sponsoring the race for the first time this year, having signed a long-term deal back in October. It's the first time that Chanel has sponsored a sports event, and given their association with women's fashion, it seems a particularly bad look. So hopefully it can be resolved.
Now, in addition to throwing the winning cocks into the Thames, into the foul waters of the Thames, which is a tradition, there are other traditions associated with this.
Yeah, so there are two courses. They're called stations in the race. There's the Middlesex Northern Route and Surrey, which is the Southern Route. So the courses are decided by flipping a sovereign, which is a coin dating back from 1829, the year of the first race. The winning team, as I said, celebrates by throwing their coxswain into the Thames. But then the losing team challenges the winner to a rematch the following year. That's how it goes. And despite prominence in the intervarsity scene, the two teams never really face each other until the boat race. Aquiva was telling me that they only really see times from their rival boat. Mm. They never see them in action.
Mm.
Mm. So on an average given year, each member of the crew trains for approximately 2 hours for every stroke in the race.
Now, whether you'd imagine that if it's particularly foul, that it might be cancelled or delayed. Has that ever happened?
No, it goes ahead. The only thing that stopped it are the world wars and COVID. In 1887, conditions were so bad and visibility so poor that the race was controversially declared a dead
heat. Because nobody saw who won.
Well, one person claimed they did, or claimed they had the best view, and that was Judge John Phelps. Both crews were said to have finished in 24 minutes and 8 seconds. Phelps adamant that they nosed across the finish at exactly the same time. He's known as Honest John Phelps. I think that's a sarcastic nickname, because there's a popular tale that came in the years afterwards that he was asleep under the bush when the race ended and therefore couldn't have given an accurate assessment. But history has got him off the hook with those allegations subsequently. In 1912, both boats ended up sinking as a result and the race was abandoned. In 1978, Cambridge were heading for victory when their boat began taking on water, and then Oxford beat them at the death. And then in 1984, the Cambridge crew collided with a barge before the race began and sank. So the event was rescheduled to the following day. It must have been their second string boat, because they still ended up losing.
Hmm. You know, you have a winning streak where a crew are pretty much unassailable. So what sort of streaks have we had?
Well, the 80s was a period of prominence. We're in the Cambridge era right now, but in the 80s, the Oxford men's team were on a 10-race winning streak. Cambridge wanted to break this. They did in 1986, and so the dark blue of Oxford were determined not to lose again, but tensions arose when head coach Dan Topalski dropped the American Chris Clark from the first crew in favour of Scotsman Donald McDonald. This led to a mutiny of sorts, so Clark's American teammates decided they would not be in the crew in the days before the race. It was immaterial, because Oxford went on to win by 4 lengths.
It was a mutiny,
yeah,
basically.
Absolutely. I really want to see what had happened on the boat And maybe I think there was a film about it, but it probably wasn't that.
Now we want to talk briefly about the Masters as well, and you know, Rory McIlroy having a go again, and you maintain that today will tell us everything.
I think that's the general consensus. We've had various people on Off the Ball and Off the Ball Breakfast this week making the point that if Rory and Shane Lowry are in contention after day one, it seems like they could be in a chance. No one is really outside the top 10 after day one generally stands a chance. I think the fact that Rory and Shane are playing so well heading into this, it's the best form they've felt so far, and the fact that they bring each other's game out, the best out of each other, and are really close friends, as we saw in the par three. It could be different this year, but we say that every year.
Yeah, mind you, as long as, to borrow from Donald Trump, as long as they don't get a bit yippy. All right, Cameron, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be watching with great interest the unfolding saga of the Masters. Final point, it'll look different this year. Why?
So because of the hurricanes, Lawrence Donegan was on Off the Ball last night explaining that aesthetically, it hasn't changed the run of the course. Now, golfers might have a more keener eye than we do, but a lot of the trees, particularly around Amen Corner, have been ripped up, and I think the tree fell on the 16th green, which meant it had to be dug up and resurfaced. So it looks slightly different this year if you're paying close enough attention.
All right, Cameron Hill from Off the Ball, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.